Good evening. It is once again good to see everyone that is able to be out this evening. We appreciate your desire to come out and spend time and study the Word of God, and we hope and pray that everyone present here will open up their Bibles and study along with me as we look into the Word of God and look in ways that we can help ourselves better in getting the right answers from the Word of God, getting them with an honest and good heart. As we noted in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, Jesus said that the seed and the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. It takes time, it takes effort to study the Word of God and to allow it to give us the answers, not the answers that we want, not the answers that we're looking for sometimes, but to give us the answer that God would have us know. And it can take a while sometimes for us to accept those answers, and we need to be looking at it in the best possible way. We looked this morning at some hindrances to getting the right answers. Many times we have this attitude of we want our information quick, we want it boiled down, we want it just, I want to ask the question, I want you to give me the answer, and we just try to rush through things too much, and we accept the first answer sometimes that is given. And one of the things that I've noted, I spoke this morning a little bit about using Wikipedia and Google, is one of the things I've noted is, and everybody needs to understand, these are not always the best places to go for information. They do not always give the right information. And so it takes digging to look into these things and to find the truth. And we need to be willing to dig into the Word of God. We also noted that we can be sometimes hard to satisfy. We have our preconceived notions on the way things should be, on what we want the Bible to say, or we don't like the way that God has answered our question. That we pointed out this morning, looking that Jesus, many times when he was asked a question, he would answer with a question, making that person to do the work necessary to discover the answer that was already available in the Word of God. As we continued our lesson this morning, we looked at some helps. We began looking at some helps to help us in getting the right answers, and one of the things we noted was that discernment. It's very important that the time to sit down and to look and to really allow it to sink in, to really think about. We think of meditation oftentimes as someone doing yoga or something, and they're meditating. And throughout the book of Psalms, we read about the righteous man and how his love is for the law of the Lord, and he meditates within that law. That is, he thinks about it. He concentrates on it. It's a major part of his life. We noted also that, growing in the ability to get right answers to questions about God's will comes down to gaining the powers of judgment and discrimination that come from spiritual maturity. We need to move away from the immature attitudes of the world and grow in our maturity of the Word of God. And one of the amazing things about the Word of God is there's always so many more things that are available to us if we'll just put forth the effort. And as our knowledge increases, the more there is for us to learn and the more there is for us to understand. I want to continue looking as we continue on with our lesson. And we need to look and understand that it is those who, because of practice, have their senses trained, who are able to discern between good and evil. I mentioned this morning that I used to read a lot of Louis L'Amour books, and oftentimes there's a character in one of the books that is a trained tracker. That is, and the statement is always made, he could track a diamondback rattler across a rock in a desert. And if you think about that for just a moment, that sounds almost impossible. But the thing is, these people have been trained to look and to see things, to spot things. The same is true if you watch the modern criminal shows with the CSI and everything and the Mentalist and Psych and Monk. You know, they see things that others don't see because they have been trained in noticing things that others just let go by the wayside. They've put these things into practice, and that's what we need to understand as a Christian. Because of practice, we've trained our senses so that we can discern between good and evil. That is, we've got to put it to work. We've got to really allow these things to become a part of our life. And we practice on it. We train ourselves so that we can be one who is serving the Lord faithfully. You see, we need to understand that there needs to be a love of God and His truth and a love of obeying God's truth. Many will say, well, I love the Word of God. I love to read it and it's just a major part of my life. And then you start talking to them about certain things that the Scriptures teach and go, oh, no, I don't think that's... They've missed the point. They've missed the boat on what the Scriptures tell us. Not only are we to love God and His truth, but we're to love obeying His truth. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 1, there in verse 2, we read about the righteous man that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He loves the Word of God. He meditates on it. But not only that, he continues in these things. If you go further in the book of Psalms and go over to Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, there beginning in verse 14, the psalmist writes, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight. Note the phrasing here. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. You see, the psalmist is saying, not only does he love the Word of God and he loves reading it and meditating on it, but he loves the commandments, the statutes, the things that are required of him. He delights in obeying the will of God. If you go further in that same psalm, in Psalm 119 there, beginning in verse 33, the psalmist continues, he says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Once again, not, I love your law, I think about it all the time, but I love your law and I want to know what is required of me and I take joy in doing these things. Verse 34, give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. You see, we as Christians, we as those who claim to love the Word of God, we've got to go beyond just saying I love God and I love His Word, but I love doing what He's required of me. I love His commandments. I love living in a way that is pleasing in His sight. We've got to move past the idea of pleasing the world and be concerned with pleasing God. In the 97th verse of that same psalm, the psalmist writes, I love your law. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. We need to love not just God and His Word, but we need to love obeying His Word. We also need to be always growing in our understanding, in our knowledge, our wisdom of the truth. A child of God is to never remain static. A child of God is to never be satisfied with where they are spiritually, with their own spiritual knowledge. A child of God should never sit back and go, I know all about the Bible, I want to know. You've just lost your Christianity there when you have that attitude. As a child of God, we've got to continue to grow in the truth. The Apostle Peter wrote of this in 2 Peter chapter 3, there in verse 18, when Peter says, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Grow. It's a recurring theme with Peter, the need to grow in the Christian virtues that he mentions there at the beginning of that book. To grow in our knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ and our service to Him. When we look at Apollos in Acts chapter 18, there beginning in verse 24, we read of a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, who came to Ephesus and he was mighty in the Scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. Why don't we just leave him alone? He knew Jesus Christ. He knew the doctrines there, the things concerning Jesus. Why can't he just be left alone? Why couldn't he remain in the knowledge that he had? We read in verse 26, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard them, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. There was a need. Even though Apollos was mighty in the Scriptures, he had a great understanding of the Word of God, and he understood about Jesus Christ and the importance of the Messiah and that He had come. Apollos understood these things, but his knowledge needed to be increased. He needed to be explained more accurately. Unfortunately, we find ourselves not so much like Apollos, that we don't like being told, well, you're not really fully understanding this passage here. You need to look more deeply into these things, because we become satisfied. There is no substitute for spiritual maturity. And we need to understand there's no shortcut to it. Let's just take just a moment and go over to the book of Hebrews. And we read this, and we talk about this so many times. When you look over in Hebrews chapter 5, you know, where there's a time where we ought to be something, but we're not. And once again, we talk about this, we read this passage, but how many times do we really look into our lives and apply these things to ourselves? In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning there in verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. We need to be living our lives and working ourselves in the Scriptures so that we grow. And so that we don't keep giving the excuse of, I don't know enough, I'm not wise enough in the Scriptures to continue teaching. We've got to grow in the truth. We need to always be growing. There is never a time to stop. We also need to avoid being naive in matters of spiritual judgment. We read this morning about those that are still like children. They're tossed about by every wind of doctrine. They are carried about and just someone comes in and goes, well, that sounds good. I'm going to go with that. And we've got to move past this. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 16. In Romans 16, there in verse 19, it says, for the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore, I'm rejoicing over you, but I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. We need to quit worrying so much about what the world's doing and how the world's living and the things of the world and be more concerned in spiritual matters. Let's let go some of the wisdom of the world and focus more on these things. Paul is writing to these Christians at Rome. He's never met them. He says, I'm glad that you've obeyed the gospel. But be wise. Grow. Increase. Don't be naive in matters of spiritual judgment. He wrote further in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, as he's writing to the church there in Corinth, in verse 20 he says, brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. In other words, be ignorant of the world. There's nothing wrong with being ignorant of the things and the cares and concerns of this world. So we don't know all the different evil ways that the world goes about serving the cares and concerns of their flesh. Big deal. If we know the way of God, that's what Paul is telling us. Quit being so concerned with the things of this world and be concerned, be wise, be mature in our spiritual judgment. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, there in verse 16, he said, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. We've got to build on our wisdom. We've got to grow in our knowledge of the truth. We've got to grow in our ability to put it into practice. We need to avoid being naive in matters of spiritual judgment. We also need to be careful in the matter of discerning truth. One of the problems that we have in the world, it's a problem that I faced in my life numerous times, and I imagine I'll continue to face it from time to time, is jumping to conclusions, jumping and making judgments. And that's where we really need to be careful in our search of the Scriptures, that we don't just read and go, okay, well, I like what that has to say, and we don't read anything more of what the Bible has to say on that. As I said this morning, Mark Twain often said, be careful reading medical books because you can die of a misprint. And once again, we need to keep in mind, be careful in our reading of the Scriptures. Be careful in the matter of discerning truth. Don't just accept it because brother so-and-so said it. Read the Word of God. Read all that the Word of God has to say about it. Think about it before you make your conclusion on these things. In Ephesians chapter 5, once again, there in verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Take the time necessary. The Word of God is not something to be treated lightly. Once again, it is the Word of God. It is His instructions to us. There is nothing more important in this world than what God has told us, His instructions on how we're to live, on how we're to be pleasing in His sight. Give it the time that it deserves. Give it the time that, give it the precedence in your life. We talked last week about the Bible being lost in the home and lost in the pulpit and because we're not giving it the time that it deserves. We look into so many other things and we get so caught up in all these other things of the world that we fail in our responsibility to give the Bible the time that it needs. We need to be careful in the matter of discerning truth. And we need to understand that it takes work at discerning truth. Once again, we go and we have computers in our homes and, well, I want to know what this is, and so we go and we type it in and we get our instant answer. Little do we know, it might be the wrong answer. Because we didn't take the time to really dig in. And too many times we call up the preacher or we call up the elders and go, tell me what the scriptures teach on this matter. Because we don't want to put forth the effort. We need to work at it. We need to use our own knowledge, our own wisdom, our own understanding, and not depend on the understanding of others. When we look in Acts chapter 17, we read this a lot, but think about what they were doing. They were coming together, they were studying the Word of God, okay? They were coming together, listening to sermons, and then, after Bible study, going to their home, opening up, and searching the Scriptures, examining the Scriptures daily. To see whether these things were so. Folks, these people had apostles. Holy Spirit inspired men coming and preaching to them. And they wouldn't even take their word for it. They were like, okay, we appreciate the message that you've given us. Let me check it out. Folks, we need to emulate that kind of an attitude. Going back to the 119th Psalm, the psalmist wrote so much about the love of the Word of God. In Psalm 119, there in verse 2, how blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. So we go further in verse 10. With all my heart I have sought You. Do not let me wander from Your commandments. Going further in verse 123, my eyes fell with longing for Your salvation and for Your righteous Word. Think about what the psalmist is saying there. I long for Your Word. I think about it all the time. I dwell within it. What do we think about all the time? Truly, where does our heart dwell? What is first and foremost in our mind when we get up in the morning? What is first and foremost in our mind when we get ready to go to bed in the evening? What is first and foremost in our mind as we go throughout the day? We've got to let the Word of God dwell within us. We've got to put forth the effort that's necessary to discern the truth. Proverbs 8, there in verse 17, the wise man recorded, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Diligently denotes the idea of putting forth a great amount of effort. Not just coming and sitting on a pew on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and occasionally on Wednesday evening. Not just doing your Bible lesson for the Bible study on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. But actively sitting and working at these things. Mining the Word of God. Taking pains, as the Apostle Paul told Timothy. Take pains with these things. We've got to be willing to put forth the work, but I don't have any time. Well, if you keep putting it off and keep putting it off and you keep throwing the Word of God to the side and saying, I don't have time to read it, you're going to be dwelling on it a lot as you're in the torments throughout all eternity. The only time you have to study and to dwell in the Word of God is while you're breathing, while you're living. And nothing in this world matters except the Word of God. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 2. As we once again go back to the wisdom of Solomon and the things that he put into place for us and the wisdom that he set aside. In Proverbs chapter 2, beginning there in verse 1, he talks about the pursuit of wisdom and the security that that wisdom can bring into your life. He says in Proverbs 2 and verse 1, my son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. And He preserves the way of His godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. How? By making it your life. By turning your ear. By turning your heart. By giving yourself to the Lord. Only to those who give themselves to Him does God give wisdom. You see, we need to understand that getting the right answers from God, getting those right answers from God require an honest intent to obey the truth. Looking at the clock, we'll talk about that more next week. But we've got to have an honest intent to obey the truth. Don't read it with the intent of, I'm going to be able to say that I've read the Bible. Read it with the intent that whatever your words tell me, these things I will do. These things I will add to my life. I will examine myself by the Scriptures. I'll look into the perfect law of liberty and allow it to show me what changes I need to make. And I'll make those changes. We have to have an honest intent to obey the truth. We've got to have a diligent effort to find the truth. Put forth the work that's necessary. And we've got to have the spiritual discernment adequate to recognize the truth. You see, when we look at these things, we've got to understand that these all have to be combined. You can't be diligent in your effort to find the truth, and it's going to do you no good if you don't intend to obey it. If you've not worked at spiritually building yourself and becoming wise in the Scriptures so that you can discern between good and evil. If you haven't practiced your senses, then reading the Bible is going to do you no good. If you go at it with a preconceived notion without the intent of allowing it to guide you, your reading of the Scriptures will do no good. You see, we've got to ask our questions with the intent to do what is right, to listen without excuse, and to act with courage. This is what the Lord requires of us. And we need to understand that the Lord will help those who truly want to grow in the ability to discriminate between truth and error. His aid is there for you. But like coaches tell their students, you got to really want it. You've got to put forth the effort. We can look and see there in the book of Matthew in chapter 7, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Note that each and every one of those requires an action on our part. As we look in Ephesians chapter 1, there in verse 17, the Apostle Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation of the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. God is there to provide you with the things that you need, the wisdom, the understanding that is necessary. But you've got to be willing to work for it. You've got to really desire these things. In Colossians 1, the Apostle Paul writes there in verse 9, "For this reason also, since the day we have heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So that," why? "So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." See, we've got to not only be putting forth the effort in study, putting forth effort in trying to train ourselves, but we need to be praying to God for wisdom. And know that He will give us that wisdom through the work that we put into His Word. That's what James says in James 1, there, verse 5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." This is what we find Solomon. Solomon was such a wise individual, and in the beginning of his reign, he prayed to God, "So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours?" He understood his weaknesses. He understood that he was a fallible human being. And he knew that the wisdom he needed could only come from God. Going back to the 119th Psalm there in verse 18 and 19, the psalmist says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law." You know, that's a wonderful verse. If you don't have it already marked or make a notation somewhere, that whenever you begin your Bible study, make that statement with an honest heart. "Father, open my eyes that I can behold wonderful things from your law. I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me." You're asking God for wisdom, for understanding. As we go further in verse 29, "Remove the false way from me and graciously grant me your law. Take away my wants, my wills, my desires, and let me center on yours." The psalmist continues in verse 73, "Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments." Once again, as we go back to the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, we read that the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church there in Philippi, in Philippians 3 and verse 15, says, "Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, Have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you. Have the attitude of what? Of serving the Lord. Of putting Him first. Of letting His Word guide you in all that you do. Folks, we need to put more effort into the study of the Word of God. We need to put more time into reading His Word, studying upon it, meditating on it. But the point that we need to make in this and understand is that no matter how diligent we are in His study, if we're not honest in the reading of His Word, honest in our desire to be obedient to it, it'll get us nowhere. Lord willing, next Sunday we'll look at the rest of this lesson. But perhaps in this lesson we've looked and noted in our own life that we have not been approaching our study of the Word of God with the right attitude. And perhaps we haven't truly been honest. We're like, God, I'll accept you on this and this and this and this, but I don't accept your word on that. Folks, we have to honestly accept all the things that God has set before us. Perhaps you've looked and noted, well, I haven't been given the Word of God the precedence in my life that it deserves. I haven't been allowing it to truly guide me in my life. I've been more concerned with the wisdom of the world. Then today, tonight, is your opportunity to make whatever change in your life is necessary. To put God first and foremost in your life. To put His Word and at the top of the list of the to-do list every day, in reading it and studying it. As we talked last Sunday, as fathers, in making sure that we're teaching our children, we're guiding them. Let's not forget that. We are the spiritual leaders of our families. That's one of our greatest responsibilities as a father. We need to make sure that we're showing them in our own life that we honestly read the Word of God. We honestly strive to apply it. We all make mistakes, though, don't we? We all fail. And that's the wonderful thing. As we read the Word of God, we see the long-suffering and mercy of God. We read in the Scriptures that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to judgment. But we also read that He has appointed a day in which the worlds will be destroyed in a fervent heat. The Lord will return, and the end of all your chances to serve the Lord will be taken away. Don't let that happen to you before it's too late. Whatever your situation might be, if you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ by repenting of your sins, being buried in baptism, having confessed your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you haven't done that, then do it. If you've got sin in your life and you've lived in such a way that you want others to know, I'm not going to live this way anymore, that I have a desire to serve the Lord, then make that confession publicly and we'll pray with you and for you. Perhaps you've just not been the Christian that you need to be, and you need to rededicate yourself to the Lord. Then do that before it's everlastingly too late. Whatever your situation might be, we encourage you to come as we stand and as we sing.